Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty.
Rooted in substance, not flash. Rooted in substance. Today, we talk with our pads.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
You're top of your head on it, right? Every moment.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Wednesday afternoon, Big Ten Media Days. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. We love you. Whether you listen on 1080 AM The Fan, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you.
Whoop.
We'll pivot back to some Big Ten Media Days as we bring on Bill Orem from the Oregonian here in a little bit. But we have a ton to get to in the NFL, a kind of a...
And all of a sudden, NBA, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of NBA news, both locally and nationally, on the TV side and preseason schedules. Schedules are out.
People care about preseason basketball schedules?
Yes, Dusty.
I don't think people care about any preseason schedules.
Wow.
That's not wrong.
I'm going to throw a shoe at both of you. CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
Holding out in Dallas. Good news, bad news, no news. I mean, it's the Dallas Cowboys, so it's always news.
Look, I think CeeDee Lamb holding out in and of itself is not a surprise. He wants to be paid like one of the highest paid wide receivers in the NFL, and he's going to garner that kind of attention. But here's where I think this is actually big news, is that you also have Dak Prescott, who wants to be paid like one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. We know that. You also have Micah Parsons, who wants to be paid as one of the highest paid non-quarterbacks in the NFL. You have three guys right now that are all garnering that kind of attention and that kind of money. CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, and Micah Parsons. We have heard that they're not going to give Dak Prescott that deal this year. They are going to say, nope, we're just going to roll with it. But then what happens if you make CeeDee Lamb one of the highest paid wide receivers in the game, and then you go and you give Micah Parsons the money to become one of the highest paid non-quarterbacks in the league, which I think Micah Parsons has earned that. I think CeeDee Lamb has earned the upper echelon pay scale of a wide receiver.
Sure.
But what kind of ripple effect does that send into your locker room when Dak Prescott's sitting there like, you're going to pay everybody else an exorbitant amount of money, but I'm not going to get paid anything, and I'm the one that touches the ball on every single damn play?
Well, it tells you what everybody else has been saying for years.
Yes, but Dak Prescott doesn't see it like that.
Yeah, well.
And that's the thing.
Them's the breaks.
And this is where it becomes an issue with the Dallas Cowboys, right? Is that they are in a pinch of three players, two who are deserving, and the other one is the most important position in all of sports, your mm-hmm. quarterback. That puts you in a pretzel from a front office perspective, and one that I don't know if Jerry Jones is going to navigate well.
No, I don't think so, because historically they have not.
And because what he always does is pays his guys.
Yes, I mean, picking the wrong guy to pay last time in Zeke
mm-hmm.
is part of what started this process all to begin with.
Yeah.
It pushed them down this path, because when you make the big money commitment to a guy that you should not make a big money commitment to, it causes ripple effects throughout your entire roster.
Yeah.
And now it was like, well, what are you going to do if you don't have Dak? You don't pay. I have said this
the first round again.
Yeah, exactly. I have said this for years now, and I will stand by it. I cannot, will not, Danny the GM will never overpay at that position. Not for that. Not for Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is at the very top of the overpaid list, and not that he's the most overpaid. I'm talking about he's probably the best player that you could overpay.
Yeah.
The bottom of that list is Daniel Jones.
But here's the thing, is every front office in the NFL goes, oh boy, we don't want to be in a position where the Raiders are right now. Mm-hmm.
Where they don't have anyone at quarterback.
The Broncos. Mm-hmm. And where they were like, Zach Wilson, and now we gotta go get Bo Nix. Mm-hmm. And they're banking on Bo Nix working out. The Minnesota Vikings, they went down that road with Kirk Cousins. And they were like, oh God. All right, we were overpaying. They pulled the ripcord on it, and now they're restarting with Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy. These are the questions that you have. Seattle did it with Russell Wilson.
As scary as it is, where has it worked? Where has the overpay worked? As scary as that quarterback desert is, and you got to have somebody. And the reason you got to have somebody is when we saw it with
Joe Flacco.
He wasn't overpaid until the year after.
Joe Flacco.
The Super Bowl run is what got him paid.
Yep. Joe Flacco was better than what people give him credit for. I still don't think he should have won
Comeback Player of the Year.
Comeback Player of the Year.
But he wasn't overpaid everybody. Until he won.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my point, in that it's the reason that...
But he was Super Bowl MVP.
No, and I get that, yeah. But you've already won. At that point, I think you can say it's not an overpay. You're paying for past performance, and and that one I can. There's a justification window.
Yep. You're right in that it doesn't work. But why it matters is
the jersey sales. It's ownership and visibility, because quarterback is so important. And if it's not your quarterback, it's your running back, like Saquon Barkley. We saw it with ownership in Hard Knocks, saying how important Saquon Barkley was, because he's your beacon on the hill. Mm-hmm. And 99.9% of the teams in the NFL, it's your quarterback. Occasionally, it's a defensive player. It's an Aaron Donald, or it's a J.J. Watt, but otherwise, or T.J. Watt.
Doesn't work.
Otherwise, it's your quarterback. Yeah. And if you don't have that guy, because I bet you, if you go into that Dallas Cowboys, if you go into that stadium, even today, if you take out all the retro jerseys, what jersey do you think is most popular in that building?
Of
the current Cowboys, Micah, CD, or Dak?
I still think it's Dak because they push it, but probably Micah Parsons.
But that's my point. I agree with you. Yeah. Mike is the actual more important guy in the grand scheme of things. But that quarterback, that monetary worth of the quarterback,
yeah,
especially in Dallas, of all places, you are sitting on the throne. It's like playing shortstop for the Yankees. You know, I mean, playing guard for the Lakers, quarterback for the Cowboys, and shortstop for the Yankees. Like the three most prestigious pedestal positions in sports.
I think where we have the overpay is with the San Francisco 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo. Remember, they gave him a ton of money.
Yeah.
And then they went and lost the Super Bowl. But they got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, that might be it.
And they didn't even pay him anywhere near what Dak is making right now.
No.
And now Dak wants more.
Well, actually, I think they may have given Jimmy Garoppolo the money before They actually even went to the Super Bowl.
Didn't they sign him to the deal after they traded for him?
Well, yeah, they have, from New England. Yeah. But then I think in 2018 he got paid and he got hurt. And then the next year he only made like $18 million or something. Let me look that up with Jimmy G.
But I mean, again, it's so rare. Everyone's like, well, you have to have a quarterback. My argument is, if you don't, you don't. No matter what level of not a quarterback it is, whether it's Daniel Jones, who's not good, or it's Dak Prescott, who's on the highest end of that, not that guy.
Jimmy G, 2018, the 49ers went 4-12. He got paid $41.9 million. In 2019, when they went to the Super Bowl, he got paid $18.6 million.
So they front-loaded the living hell out of that $60 million contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then got paid 24.7, 25.4, 11.1, and then 23.3 by the Raiders last year.
Great to be him.
He's made $148 million in his career.
God. Good to be a quarterback.
Good to be Jimmy G.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness.
No, you shouldn't overpay for the quarterback, but every team's fear is we don't have the
quarterback desert. Yeah.
And I think that you may look at, you know what? The guy who it may be working out best for, everybody kind of scoffed at the Detroit Lions trading for Jared Goff and for giving him a deal.
It worked out.
They did. It is working out for them right now. But still, they haven't gotten over the hump. And will Jared Goff be the guy that gets him over the hump? Because every great quarterback is a guy who drags his team beyond that point, right? That's the whole point.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of 49ers, Trent Williams not showing up to camp, along with Brandon Ayuk. Or Brandon Ayuk is there and present, but neither are practicing. Why? Because they both want new deals. Trent Williams, old, wants his guaranteed money.
Yeah, well, because he's got 3 years of non-guaranteed money, and he's no longer the highest paid tackle in the game right now because of the deals like Penei Sewell just got. Darisaw from the Vikings just got a massive deal.
Days to go.
And then you have Laremy Tunsil all getting paid more than he is. Trent Williams, even at 36 years old, he is worthy of that money. So this is one where I think Brandon Ayuk, he is a hold in. He reported to camp. Mm-hmm. He's not practicing. Trent Williams, they're going to make this thing work with him. And they're going to turn his non-guarantees into guaranteed money. And yeah, he's a first team all pro, for God's sakes, and the best left tackle in the game, even at 36 years old. But you have to be careful because he's got three more years of non-guaranteed money of how you start rearranging that money around to where he's happy to return, but you're not sitting there going, we're paying a 39-year-old who doesn't have it anymore a bunch of money when we still have to win with Debo, Christian, and Kittle.
Possibly Ayuk.
I think that ship is sailing. They're going to hold him hostage in San Francisco, and he's going to have... This is what they've done before.
Yeah.
They've done it three other times.
Make him be the bad guy.
Yeah, and they're going to say, if you don't want to play here, fine.
It's going to be on you.
You're not going to play anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be okay with us.
Fine by us. One other note here. Dolphins safety, Jordan Poyer, calls the Dolphins soft.
Yes! It's about time. So this is something that we've always talked about with Miami. It's like they go up in the cold weather and they just fold. Poyer said that when he was playing in Buffalo, they looked at Miami as a front-running team, where if we jump on them early, they will pack their bags and go home.
Which is telling you the coaching staff in Buffalo looked at Miami as a team that was
soft.
Soft.
Soft. And so I love that Jordan Poyer's going down there and being like, you know what? No, we got to change this because we cannot be soft like this any longer. And that is the worst thing that you can tell any football player in any locker room is that, hey, by the way, people think you guys are soft in here.
They think if they punch you in the face, you're going to turn around and take your ball and go home.
Now, here's the roll of the dice with Jordan Poyer is that if they are in fact as soft as he indicated they are, a lot of those guys might just turn their back on him now at this point and be like, we're not soft. Well, I hope Miami wins. I love Mike McDonald, Mike McDaniel. Tyreek Hill is an exciting player. Tua is, and by the way, that's another quarterback where you talked about Dak Prescott. What are they going to do with Tua where they don't have any progress on a long-term extension with him.
And but you have the additional element of concussions.
They are working towards a window where they should be better than they are right mm-hmm. now. And
they should have made the step.
Guys like Poyer yeah. are going to go a long way to seeing if they even can do mm-hmm. that, because he's right, and everybody has seen this. Miami does play soft. They do.
Yeah.
We got to change it. They got to change it in short order if they're going to have this window that
whether it's going to Buffalo or going to Kansas City. Either yep. way, they, you know.
Yep.
Same result.
Got to do it.
All right, coming up next, the business of the NBA world outside of the player transaction pool is quite active. What this means for how you'll watch games going forward. On Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/AtBat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The ongoing situationship between Turner Sports and the NBA is taking another turn. Ooh. As the NBA has issued a statement on Turner Sports. This wasn't reported until, I think, officially until now, while by either party, whether it's Turner or the NBA, about which part of the deal Turner matched. We talked about this the other day, that it was Amazon. But this is now both parties recognizing that the thing that Turner matched in the TV deal was Amazon's part of the deal, which is mostly as a streaming component.
Yes. So TNT, you're talking the NBA contracts, they finally have unveiled their 11-year deal that they have, which we all knew was going to be
yes.
multiple billions of dollars. And there was a report out there that TNT was matching one of them, and they had first rights of refusal to where they could match it. And the NBA is saying, not so fast, my friend. They didn't match what Amazon, in at least in a timely fashion, what Amazon was proposing, and now Amazon is going to have all of your streaming rights.
Not only that, they're saying that TNT didn't have the rights to match Amazon, that they needed to match the larger package, which went to NBC, which is now, this is the return of NBA basketball to NBC and the return of Roundball Rock.
Yeah.
It will happen.
And they're going to do, okay, so NBC is part of their package. They'll have one regional game. They'll have two games on any given night. Mm-hmm. One will be regional. The other one will be streamed on Peacock.
Yes.
So you have access to watch either one of them.
God, it's greatness.
It's just if you want to watch it, whatever game is in your market, think of NFL games on Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. Where the network picks for you. Except for, how about this for a novel concept? They're not going to charge you $258 to go and watch, or $399 to go and watch a basketball game on, say, DirecTV. You can just go to Peacock if you have that. You can go and watch it right there.
Indeed.
Wow. Weird.
The other part of this is the NBA is entering into a partnership with Amazon.
Oh.
And Amazon Prime, get prepared for this. Amazon Prime is going to take over streaming in sports. YouTube is trying to position itself with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's
why they have Sunday Ticket.
Yes. And it is probably going to be their flagship going forward. Amazon, I believe, at some point in time is trying to get it all. And number one, and I don't care what this is, they have a better presentation package than anybody else in sports.
Ooh. I think Apple TV with their baseball.
It's great.
Amazing.
It's great.
I think it's better than Amazon. The picture quality of their baseball and soccer it's awesome.
It is very good. I still think Amazon's is the best, especially when you talk about like the Thursday Night Football, the analytics, the overlays and everything that you kind of get from that. Like, they have all of the built-in nerd stuff, even more than the baseball side of things, which is kind of incredible because baseball does it better than anyone on the nerd side. But I digress. The basketball package will include 66 regular season games, including your Emirates Cup, which is the NBA in-season tournament. Yes, it has already been sponsored. Yes, it is already growing. And yes, it is going to be more important than to just telling you the way this thing is headed. They're also going to be carrying regular and postseason WNBA games.
God, it mattered so much for the Lakers last year.
Oh, it did. No, it didn't. Didn't at all.
Raised the banner.
They raised the banner only because the NBA made them. They will also be carrying the new Black Friday game.
Okay.
As well as NBA conference finals and playoff games.
Conference finals is a big one. So this is the TNT package.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Conference finals, play-in tournament, and the NBA Cup. People are going to have to go and find and seek out the NBA now. And I think that the smart play by the NBA is NBA fans are passionate enough where they'll go out and they'll do it. You couldn't do this like with the Pac-12. And everybody goes, see, the Pac-12 could have been saved by Apple. No, Pac-12 fans have proven they are not passionate enough to go and seek something out and pay extra for it. The other good thing that they have is because of so many people who have Amazon Prime Video now.
We were talking about this.
It is accessible to the masses.
Everybody out there who thinks that they understand where the streaming world is and like the pecking order, be prepared to be shocked at how much control Amazon Prime actually has. The largest streaming service in the world is Netflix right now. Amazon Prime is right behind them.
Yeah. And like Prime Video, I don't watch it that much. Like I'm being completely honest.
I
have it, but I don't watch it. I mean, it's not on, it's maybe third, maybe, probably closer to fourth.
They have 200 million monthly viewers.
Yeah.
Second only to Netflix.
Like, and I would technically be one of those because I'll pop it on once a month, but I'm not going to it very often. But the fact is, I have it.
Yeah.
And so I don't have to go out of my way to go and get it. And that is why the NBA is putting such a big basket towards Amazon Prime.
And that is the big line here. As part of the agreement, Prime Video Channels will be the strategic partner and third-party global channel for NBA League Pass.
Oh.
The integration of League Pass into Amazon, and do not be surprised in the next couple years when you can click on the NBA icon on your phone and directly stream your local team's games.
Bingo.
All right, coming up next, Bill Orem from the Oregonian, live from Big Ten Media Days. We'll get to him and more. But first, it's Big Kahuna Sports Center Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
We're now joined by Bill Orem of the Oregonian, live from Big Ten Media Days. The introduction of Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, and Oregon State's Jonathan Smith taking over at Oregon State. Bill, thanks for taking some time for us, man.
My pleasure, Danny. It's nice to hear your voice.
Oh, don't say that. You know that's not true. What has been the general vibe of the new kids in town? Because the last couple of days, Dusty and I have kind of comped it to for the four new teams being the first day of high school.
But it's so funny you say that. I don't know if you read what I wrote in the Oregonian today, but I did write sort of a first day of school satire, kind of imagining what the first day for Oregon showing up to this big unfamiliar school would be like. So I direct people there. But I think that's exactly right. And I think that with the rest of the conference, there's a real curiosity about these schools and about what they're going to bring to the to the conference from a style of play standpoint. You know, I think there's excitement about expanding and becoming a coast-to-coast conference and having, you know, these trips. But you also do hear, you know, some of the really, you know, frank talk about the hardships of the travel and the fact that the conference just got a whole lot tougher, by the way. You've got a team coming in Washington that played for a national championship last year. You know, they're not going to be that team in this upcoming season, but that's a program with a pedigree and the ability to rebuild. Oregon's right there this year, obviously, as we know. And then you're talking about USC, which is, you know, Danny, what do we know about USC? Anything? Do you have any particular insight on that team?
No, eight wins and a hope is really kind of where I'm at with them.
But I think that there has been some excitement, and it has been the you know, the overarching theme. I think, you know, listening to a lot of the press conferences, there was a lot of curiosity about the new schools, how they're going to fit, how having them on the schedule changes things. Today, Jonathan Smith spoke with Michigan State, and a lot of curiosity about Oregon State and the program he built there, and how, you know, he's going to basically bring the blueprint that worked at Oregon State to a program in Michigan State that has a lot of the same characteristics, a lot of the same qualities. If you'll forgive me for this, the little brother of the in-state rivalry, the blue-collar, chip-on-your-shoulder program. And so it was kind of interesting to listen to Jonathan Smith reflect on kind of this, what he built at Oregon State to some degree. And then, you know, it's just different. It's weird, Danny, walking around here and seeing familiar faces from the Pac-12 and, you know, other media people, obviously coaches, 80s, and then you look around and all of a sudden you see somebody in like a Purdue, you know, sweatshirt, and you're just like, wait a minute, where am I? And so I think there is still the oddity of this coming together. I will tell you, though, I think this is important, and I need to establish this because I got to Indianapolis at 3:30 this morning, and I've been at the stadium since 10. The biggest difference in the Big Ten from the Pac-12 is that I walked a mile from my hotel to the stadium and did not pass a single coffee shop. Not one coffee shop in the mile between my hotel and the stadium. If this was any Pac-12 city, I would have been so hopped up on caffeine by the time I got here, I would have had five 20-ounce Americanos. I would be flying right now instead of what I'm doing, which is crashing.
You know, Bill, it was, we talked with Matt Rhule earlier, Nebraska head coach, and he said, you know, I was all for it until, you know, Oregon got named to the conference, and all of a sudden it turned into, okay, they're going to be really damn good this year. What has been the conversation around the University of Oregon that you have heard from all the rest of the Big Ten schools? Because it's weird entering a conference where, you mentioned it, Washington played for a national title. Oregon should be really good this year. USC is USC by brand. How are the teams trying to figure out what each of these universities are?
Yeah, it's funny, Dusty, because I think about when this all got announced, we're almost to the 1-year anniversary. When this got announced, I was sitting there and I was like, you know, Oregon might have a little bit of a rude awakening in the Big Ten. I mean, that's a tough conference. There's, you know, it's a different level. And I wondered if maybe it was going to take them a couple of years to get their feet wet and to get up to speed. And obviously, we aren't even to, you know, fall camp yet. So maybe I'm being a little premature here. But this, you know, should be a top three football team that if it wins, you know, into the middle of October is going to be the number one ranked team in the state. And so to come in from, you know, as the new kid in school and already be seen as a prodigious threat is just a really unique position. And I think everyone around here understands that. And, you know, there is no, you know, isn't it cute that Oregon's here? Like, it might have been 25 years ago, you know, and it's like, oh, they've got the uniforms. Now it's like, you know, what the heck? I'm sorry, I've got to watch my language on live radio. I'm trying to catch myself, but I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of these coaches, yeah. and the words that come to mind all start with or all end in dashes and ampersands and all the other punctuation that bleeps out what I really want to say.
I know you've only been boots on the ground for a couple hours, but culturally, what feels different? From the Big Ten versus the Pac-12, because again that first day of school, like there's got to be some familiarity. You know, USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington. Even though there's real disdain for each other, there's comfort in that hatred. Whereas you look across at everything else culturally, it has to at least feel different, right?
Well, what I think, I mean, what jumps out to me, and you're right, I've only been here today, is just the scale of it. You know, and not that a media day is a great barometer of this, but you know, Pac-12 did their media day at a nightclub in Las Vegas or LA. You know, this is in an NFL stadium that, you know, the setup on the field that I'm looking at right now basically goes goal line to goal line. There are, you know, there are 12 podiums for players and coaches to do breakout sessions. There's three live TV sets, including the Big Ten Network and CBS Sports. There's a huge stage with the logo. I mean, this feels, I mean, I'm not trying to be cute. This feels big. It feels bigger. And, you know, that means there's 18 schools, but, you know, this does feel like a step up in stature. And I think that that's kind of what we all understood it was when, you know, the University of Oregon made the jump. You know, I'm still having kind of a hard time wrapping my head and my heart around it as a kid who grew up in the Pac-12 footprint, or the Pac-10. I love the Pac-10. I'm still hoping that somebody's going to pinch me and say, you know what, we're undoing it all. The Pac-10's back together. Colorado can still go to the Big 12 because who needs Colorado? But, you know, we could be the Pac-11, keep Utah. And I'm still sad about it. But looking around right now, I'm sitting here on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium, you know, looking up at 70,000 seats or 60,000 seats, whatever it is. And it's pretty awesome by the definition of the word. Like, it is awe-striking.
Bill, we're going to let you go here.
I'm awestruck.
You're cutting in and out. You're getting a little robotic on us. But
we be emotional?
Yeah. No, your signal's coming a little bit weird here, so we're going to let you go. We appreciate you taking some time for us. Well, hopefully we can check back in with you maybe after tomorrow and see if we can.
We got a John. Did I hear something about Jonathan Smith piece coming out?
Yeah. I did spend some time in the hallway with Jonathan Smith talking about a lot of things, but specifically his departure from Oregon State and the things that he wishes he might have done differently. Ooh. And I'll leave it at that, but look for that on Oregon Live later this afternoon.
Ooh, that's a good little tease. We like that. Thanks for taking the time for us, Bill, and good luck in the land of the coffee-less.
Okay, Mr. Robotic is out.
Bill Orem from the Oregonian. Unfortunately, a little audio difficulty there, as it sounded like he was in the depths of... What's the stadium now?
Lucas Oil.
I wish we could go back to just naming stadiums.
The RCA Dome.
Yeah, I just no, not that one. No, but I mean, like, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's just exactly so hard to keep track of what
the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome.
Saw like what is it, the one in New Orleans,
Superdome.
Yeah, it's the Caesar's Palace Superdome now, and I was
because they couldn't be Mercedes anymore because Mercedes jumped to Atlanta.
But I mean,
they went divisional rivals.
But it was like Caesar's Palace in
you know,
New Orleans.
The one I hated the most was U.S. Airways Arena and U.S. Airways Center. One being in Miami, the other being in Phoenix, and I was like, we can't have this.
Yeah, and you know how you differentiate? You go Talking Stick Resort.
That's right. Talking Stick Resort, because who doesn't love Talking Stick Resort?
Like, what are we doing here?
Well, New Orleans has the other ridiculous one, the Smoothie King Center. They play in the Smoothie King.
Yeah, but what's worse about that? The Smoothie King Center or the King Cake Baby? Or the terrifying Pelicans mascot?
Yes.
New Orleans, man.
All of it.
It's all...
That's a vibe. It's
freaky,
a vibe.
Freaky, deaky, terrible, awful... weird things.
I think they do have. Do they have a Caesar's Palace in Louisiana?
I mean, you can gamble down on the riverboats there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Ah, look at that. Caesar's New Orleans. They got one right there.
Do they really?
Yeah. Yeah. Right next to the Audubon Aquarium. That doesn't seem like something that makes sense. The Audubon Aquarium?
Do you drive really fast through it?
Well, are birds flying through there too? I don't know. But yeah, you got a Caesar's in New Orleans right there.
Why did you say birds?
The Audubon Society.
Oh.
Yeah.
The other Audubon.
Uh-huh.
I was going
German.
You
can drive fast or fly. Yeah. Or apparently go watch. Audubon, remember, it got canceled. They were saying that the Audubon Society was going to be canceled because of whoever Audubon is. He had problematic views, which, no way.
Somebody from the past
200 years ago had a problematic past.
Oh, my God. Caused my eye to twitch. See, you know what? That's actually an easy, quasi-easy transition. You want to see how I do this one?
What do you got here?
The World Anti-Doping Agency. Problematic?
They are.
We'll get to that and more. Come here on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan. Surprise, the Olympics are actually already underway.
That, I don't like this.
No, I don't either.
We got to stop this.
Opening ceremonies aren't until Friday night.
Yeah.
And yet, the games are already underway, which doesn't make any sense. If you haven't had opening ceremonies, how can games be underway?
It's like wiping before you poop. It don't make no sense.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's really what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Along with the Olympics getting underway, when the Olympics come together, that is when the IOC comes together to certify contracts and as such for future Olympics games.
You mean grease palms of other rich individuals?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Or in the case of countries like the United States that already have the infrastructure built up from previous Olympics, sign contracts.
Yeah.
Which is what is happening as it pertains to the Winter Olympics of 2034 in Salt Lake City, which, again, a place that has already hosted them. The difference or the issue in this contract is the IOC, which does not have anything to do directly with the United States, has inserted a clause into the contract that could rip the games away from Salt Lake City and the United States if they don't stop their FBI probe of WADA, or the World Anti-Doping Agency.
Mm.
Why would the U.S. and the FBI be looking into that? Well, because the World Anti-Doping Agency has allowed 23 Chinese nationals who failed miserably, clearly, unquestionably, tests verified by WADA and were allowed to proceed as athletes.
Yeah, so what happened? You had a bunch of Chinese swimmers that I guess WADA has said, oh, yeah, we'll take your word for it, accidentally took performance-enhancing drugs. How do 23 people accidentally
The story that they have take PEDs? Pushed forward is that it somehow got into their kitchen.
Drinking the Kool-Aid?
Well, it leads me to believe that they were feeding it to their athletes in the very same manner that the Russians were, which I don't know if anybody knows this. The Russians are not technically competing at the Olympics.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We're now joined by Bill Orme of the Oregonian, live from Big Ten Media Days, the introduction of Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, and Oregon State's Jonathan Smith taking over at Oregon State. Bill, thanks for taking some time for us, man.
My pleasure, Danny. It's nice to hear your voice.
Oh, don't say that. You know that's not true. what has been the general vibe of the new kids in town? Because the last couple of days, Dusty and I have kind of comped it to for the four new teams being the first day of high school.
But it's so funny you say that. I don't know if you read what I wrote in the Oregonian today, but I did write sort of a first day of school satire, kind of imagining what the first day for Oregon showing up to this big unfamiliar school would be like. So I direct people there. But I think that's exactly right. And I think that with the rest of the conference, there's a real curiosity about these schools and about what they're going to bring to the program or to the conference from a style of play standpoint. I think there's excitement about expanding and becoming a coast-to-coast conference and having, these trips. But you also do hear, some of the really, frank talk about the hardships of the travel and the fact that the conference just got a whole lot tougher, by the way. You've got a team coming in Washington that played for a national championship last year. They're not going to be that team in this upcoming season, but that's a program with a pedigree and the ability to rebuild. Oregon's right there this year, obviously, as we know. And then you're talking about USC, which is, Danny, what do we know about USC? Anything? Do you have any particular insight on that team?
No, eight wins and a hope is really kind of where I'm at with them.
But I think that there has been some excitement, and it has been the overarching theme. I think listening to a lot of the press conferences, there was a lot of curiosity about the new schools, how they're going to fit, how having them on the schedule changes things. Today, Jonathan Smith spoke with Michigan State and a lot of curiosity about Oregon State and the program he built there and how, he's going to basically bring the blueprint that worked at Oregon State to a program in Michigan State that has a lot of the same characteristics, a lot of the same qualities. If you'll forgive me for this, the little brother of the in-state rivalry, the blue-collar, chip-on-your-shoulder program. And so it was kind of interesting to listen to Jonathan Smith reflect on kind of this, what he built at Oregon State to some degree. And then, it's just different. It's weird, Danny, walking around here and seeing familiar faces from the Pac-12 and, other media people, obviously coaches, 80s, and then you look around and all of a sudden you see somebody in like a Purdue, sweatshirt, and you're just like, wait a minute, where am I? And so I think there is still the oddity of this coming together. I will tell you, though, I think this is important, and I need to establish this because I got to Indianapolis at 3:30 this morning, and I've been at the stadium since 10. The biggest difference in the Big Ten from the Pac-12 is that I walked a mile from my hotel to the stadium and did not pass a single coffee shop. Not one coffee shop in the mile between my hotel and the stadium. If this was any Pac-12 city, I would have been so hopped up on caffeine by the time I got here, I would have had five 20-ounce Americanos. I would be flying right now instead of what I'm doing, which is crashing.
Bill, we talked with Matt Rhule earlier, Nebraska head coach, and he said, I was all for it until, Oregon got named to the conference, and all of a sudden it turned into, okay, they're going to be really damn good this year. What has been the conversation around the University of Oregon that you have heard from all the rest of the Big Ten schools? Because it's weird entering a conference where, you mentioned it, Washington played for a national title. Oregon should be really good this year. USC is USC by brand. How are the teams trying to figure out what each of these universities are?
Yeah, it's funny, Dusty, because I think about when this all got announced, we're almost to the 1 year anniversary, when this got announced, I was sitting there and I was like, you know, Oregon might have a little bit of a rude awakening in the Big Ten. I mean, that's a tough conference. There's, you know, it's a different level. And I wondered if maybe it was going to take them a couple of years to get their feet wet and to get up to speed. And obviously, we aren't even to, you know, fall camp yet. So maybe I'm being a little premature here. But this, you know, should be a top three football team that if it wins, you know, into the middle of October is going to be the number one ranked team in the state. And so to come in from, you know, as again the new kid in school, and already be seen as a prodigious threat is just a really unique position, and I think everyone around here understands that. And you know, there is no, you know, isn't it cute that Oregon's here, like it might have been 25 years ago, you know, and it's like, oh, they've got the uniforms now. It's like, you know, what the heck? And sorry, I've got to watch my language on live radio. I'm trying to catch myself, because I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of these coaches, yeah. and the words that come to mind all start with or all end in dashes and ampersands and all the other punctuation that bleeps out what I really want to say.
I know you've only been on, you know, boots on the ground for a couple hours, but culturally, what feels different from the Big Ten versus the Pac-12? Because again, that first day of school, like there's got to be some familiarity. You know, USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington. Even though there's real disdain for each other, there's comfort in that hatred. Whereas you look across at everything else culturally, it has to at least feel different, right?
Well, what I think, I mean, what jumps out to me, and you're right, I've only been here today, is just the scale of it. You know, and not that a media day is a great barometer of this, but you know, Pac-12 did their media day at a nightclub in Las Vegas or LA. You know, this is in an NFL stadium that, you know, the setup on the field that I'm looking at right now basically goes goal line to goal line. There are, you know, there are 12 podiums for players and coaches to do breakout sessions. There's three live TV sets, including the Big Ten Network and CBS Sports. There's a huge stage with the logo. I mean, I'm not trying to be cute. This feels big. It feels bigger. And, you know, that means there's 18 schools, but, you know, this does feel like a step up in stature. And I think that that's kind of what we all understood it was when, you know, the University of Oregon made the jump. You know, I'm still having kind of a hard time wrapping my head and my heart around it as a kid who grew up in the Pac-12 footprint, or the Pac-10. I love the Pac-10. I'm still hoping somebody's going to pinch me and say, you know what, we're undoing it all. The Pac-10's back together. Colorado can still go to the Big 12 because who needs Colorado? But, you know, we could be the Pac-11, keep Utah. And I'm still sad about it. But looking around right now, I'm sitting here on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium, you know, looking up at 70,000 seats or 60,000 seats, whatever it is. And it's pretty awesome by the definition of the word. Like, it is awe-striking.
Bill, we're going to let you go here.
I'm awestruck.
You're cutting in and out. You're getting a little robotic on us. But
we'd be emotional?
Yeah. No, your signal's coming a little bit weird here, so we're going to let you go. We appreciate you taking some time for us. Well, hopefully we can check back in with you maybe after tomorrow and see if we can.
We got a John. Did I hear something about Jonathan Smith piece coming out?
Yeah.
I did spend some time in the hallway with Jonathan Smith talking about a lot of things, but specifically his departure from Oregon State and the things that he wishes he might have done differently. And I'll leave it at that, but look for that on Oregon Live later this afternoon.
Ooh, that's a good little tease. We liked it. Thanks for taking the time for us, Bill, and good luck in the land of the coffee-less.
Okay, Mr. Robotic is out.
Bill Orem from the Oregonian. Unfortunately, a little audio difficulty there, as it sounded like he was in the depths of what's the stadium now?
Lucas Oil.
Lucas Oil. I wish we could go back to just naming stadiums.
The RCA Dome?
Yeah, I just, no, not that one. No, but I mean, like, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just exactly so hard to saying. Keep track of what.
The Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome?
Yeah.
I saw, like, what is it? The one in New Orleans.
Superdome.
Yeah, it's the Caesars Palace Superdome now. And I was
because,
like,
they couldn't be Mercedes anymore because Mercedes jumped to Atlanta.
But I mean,
they went divisional rivals. Right,
but I was like, Caesars Palace in
You know what? The one I hated the most was US Airways Arena and US Airways Center. One being in Miami, the other being in Phoenix. And I was like, we can't have this.
Yeah, you know how you differentiate? You go Talking Stick Resort.
That's right. Talking Stick Resort. Because who doesn't love Talking Stick Resort?
Like, what are we doing here?
Well, New Orleans has the other ridiculous one, the Smoothie King Center. They play in the Smoothie King.
Yeah, but what's worse about that? The Smoothie King Center or the King Cake Baby? Or the terrifying Pelicans mascot?
Yes.
New Orleans, man.
All of it.
It's all...
That's a vibe. It's
freaky,
a vibe.
Deaky, terrible, awful, weird things.
I think they do have a Caesar's Palace in Louisiana?
I mean, you can gamble down on the riverboats there.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Yeah. Look at that. Caesars New Orleans. They got one right there.
Do they really?
Yeah. Yeah. Right next to the Audubon Aquarium. That doesn't seem like something that makes sense. The Audubon Aquarium?
Do you drive really fast through it?
Are birds flying through there too? I don't know. But yeah, you got a Caesars in New Orleans right there.
Why did you say birds?
The Audubon Society.
Oh
yeah,
the other Autobahn.
Uh huh.
I was going.
You could drive fast or fly, or apparently go watch Autobahn. Remember, they got canceled. They were saying that the Autobahn Society was going to be canceled because of whoever Autobahn is. He had problematic views, which no way.
Somebody from the past
200 years ago had a problematic past.
Yeah, my God, caused my eye to twitch. So you know what? That's actually an easy, quasi-easy transition. You want to see how I do this one?
What do you got here?
The World Anti-Doping Agency. Problematic?
They are.
We'll get to that and more. Come here on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan. Surprise! The Olympics are actually already underway.
That, I don't like this.
No, I don't either.
We got to stop this.
Opening ceremonies aren't until Friday night.
Yeah.
And yet, the games are already underway. Which doesn't make any sense. If you haven't had opening ceremonies, how can games be underway?
It's like wiping before you poop. It don't make no sense.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's really what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Along with the Olympics getting underway, when the Olympics come together, that is when the IOC comes together to certify contracts and as such for future Olympics games.
You mean... grease palms of other rich individuals?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Or in the case of countries like the United States that already have the infrastructure built up from previous Olympics, sign contracts.
Yeah.
Which is what is happening as it pertains to the Winter Olympics of 2034 in Salt Lake City, which, again, a place that has already hosted them. The difference or the issue in this contract is the IOC, which does not have anything to do directly with the United States, has inserted a clause into the contract that could rip the games away from Salt Lake City in the United States if they don't stop their FBI probe of WADA, or the World Anti-Doping Agency.
Mm.
Why would the U.S. and the FBI be looking into that? Well, because the World Anti-Doping Agency has allowed 23 Chinese nationals who failed miserably, clearly, unquestionably, tests verified by WADA and were allowed to proceed as athletes.
Yeah, so what happened? You had a bunch of Chinese swimmers that I guess WADA has said, oh yeah, we'll take your word for it, accidentally took performance-enhancing drugs. How do 23 people accidentally...
The story that they have
take PEDs
pushed forward is that it somehow got into their kitchen.
Drinking the Kool-Aid?
Well, it leads me to believe that they were feeding it to their athletes in the very same manner that the Russians were, which I don't know if anybody knows this. The Russians are not technically competing at the Olympics.
Okay. So This does sound like it should have an investigation done about it.
Weird.
Because of the fact that they're just being like, yeah, we accidentally gave them, popped them up full of steroids. Shouldn't the Chinese swimmers be better then?
Yes? Question mark?
Maybe that's the thing, is that they didn't win. They weren't winning a bunch of golds. So they're like, yeah, well, obviously what you did didn't work. Man, so
they do really well in gymnastics, though.
Okay. But these are swimmers.
Yeah.
These are swimmers. And
but they also had the issue with the underage gymnasts.
What?
Yeah, no, that's why they...
Oh, remember? Like the 12-year-old, 13-year-old yeah. gymnast that they were like, no, 16. They're 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like,
It's the opposite thing that they do with basketball players, where they tell you it's an 18-year-old, and it's in fact a 23-year-old.
23-year-old, yeah.
That happened, for those that are wondering.
It happens all the time.
Sent the three different Chinese nationals to Hoop Summit that were much older than they said.
Yeah. Well, they also... this is not foreign to sports, because Albert Pujols, we... think is in his mid-40s?
It's a guess.
He might be 52. I don't know.
Yeah. We think.
Yeah, that's right.
But he was still great for a decade.
He was great. All right, so if the U.S. doesn't call off the dogs on WADA, then no Olympics. So why don't they just sign the deal and then crack down on WADA when they get here in 2034?
Which is what I think is going to happen.
But this isn't the case for the LA Olympics in 2028?
Mm.
Okay. All right. You know
Those checks have already cleared.
But here's the thing with the IOC is that...
It's scummier than FIFA?
Well, they're running out of countries to host because nobody wants to do it anymore, because if you go to Greece, if you go to China, if you go to anywhere that is Sydney, anywhere that they've hosted Olympic Games previously, Rio, for God's sakes... A lot of the places are just abandoned.
Yes.
A lot of the facilities are abandoned, and countries are like, we don't want to do this. You bankrupt a whole damn country in Greece.
I mean, in the U.S., these facilities are stood up and they're used year-round.
And
whether it's in Denver, whether it's in Los Angeles, whether it's in Salt Lake City or Atlanta, those four cities have stood up, and actually Lake Placid, those facilities in both winter and summertime are stood up for our own training as a nation, but also for open to the public.
You want to take the Olympics back to Russia? You want to go ahead and do that, IOC? Because that's another country that'd be like, yeah, we'll spend $1 billion, where they had rampant doping. You don't even allow their athletes to
participate under the country's banner.
Yeah. Is that where you want to go? They're running out of places. Yeah. I think the United States should call their bluff on this.
And the USADA, the United States Anti-Doping Agency, is the part of this is they're wanting control of the Olympics. I actually get the IOC pushing back against the USADA, because you don't want the host nation being the arbiter of...
Well, yeah, we saw how that went in Russia.
Yeah. Yeah, when they said everything was totally fine.
Yeah.
Everything's on the up and up. Totally good here, guys. No issues.
They literally had a trap door that they were putting samples through. That was a wild story.
Just kind of swept under the rug.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, why does Helga look like Holga?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Damn it, Bernice. Dodgeball. Beaver tranquilizers.
Low grade or high grade? I think it's low grade.
Low grade beaver tranquilizers. Damn it, Bernice.
Where do we get... I want to... Look, man. Like tracking down, like, British Dragon was the steroid of choice 20 years ago. I wonder what the... where you get... And you can get that from even England. I wonder what the low grade... tranquilizer choices out there
these days.
Yeah,
who knows. I'm sure that obviously maybe that's what the Chinese swim team had.
Are you excited for the Olympics?
Yeah,
I'm getting tight sports pants.
Yeah,
I love the Olympics.
I like the Olympics. It won't hit me until I start yelling at a badminton match or the, you know.
Yes, look
like the triathlon. I'm like, come on, and it will hit me then.
Track and field, basketball, the big events that we all, you know, know and love. Those
are great. Chase.
Look, yes.
I enjoy the steeplechase.
Look, decathlete. Like, get weird.
Yeah.
Like, when all of a sudden I start caring about a random event on like 2 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday, that's when you know I'm locked in.
Well, you know,
Gina Davis
we're all
going out
in
for the archery team again.
Mm.
You guys know breakdancing is in the Olympics this year?
It has been for like a few, I think.
No way.
No?
Really?
I think so.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that breakdancing was part of the Olympics.
How about surfing? Because our mutual friend, AJ McCord, is in Tahiti covering the Olympics.
Wait, that's where they're doing their surfing is in Tahiti? Is that like a French province or something?
I don't know, but that's where
that's
they're
not close.
No, and you know what they did for an Olympic village?
Hmm.
They took over a cruise ship and anchored it offshore.
Hell yeah.
So they have this massive cruise ship that all of the Olympic quote-unquote athletes are staying on.
All right.
The partying being done on that ship has to be otherworldly.
I think they would say gnarly, bro. It'd be so gnarly out there on that cruise ship, man.
That's
hey, let's get this thing going and we'll all surf the wake, bro.
That's got to be a great ship.
I bet it's fun.
I bet zero issues on that ship as far as fun.
Yeah.
I bet you they don't have breakable beds.
No.
For those that are wondering,
no.
They have beds that
they're not. They're not breakable. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're made of cardboard.
Oh.
But they are saying it is
right.
So compressed, it will not break. Yeah. It's just as sturdy as any other bed that you want to get.
But they
down
also
on.
Don't have air conditioning.
They don't?
No.
Oh, they're going to bring the portables.
Yeah. Well, the U.S. said they're bringing theirs.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because they
wanted
to be green. It's like.
Because America.
Paris is hot, sweaty, and they have horrible, horrible, horrible drainage.
Okay.
I don't want to be stinky and stinky.
Hey. Blazers preseason has been announced.
Four games. Two home, two on the road.
Yeah.
One of which is in Seattle, October 11th. I'll be
against
up there
the
that Friday night again. That'll be a fun little deal. They've got one international team, Ratio Farm Ulm.
It's coming Ratio through. Farm Ulm from the Bundesliga,
from
German basketball.
From the BBL.
Whoa.
Basketball Bundesliga.
And then the Utah Jazz is going to be in Portland October 18th. It'll be good to have basketball back in October.
So there you go.
And the game against the Clippers in Seattle I saw was Pokemon night.
Yes, brought to you by Pokemon.
Wow.
Gotta catch them all.
Pokemon Go all around the arena. All right, up next, you got 4 hours of power there. Mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Souk. We'll be back for 5 more hours tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Bye.
Quote my ass on that.
Surprise, the Olympics are actually already underway.
That, I don't like this.
No, I don't either.
We got to stop this.
Opening ceremonies aren't until Friday night.
Yeah.
And yet, the games are already underway, which doesn't make any sense. If you haven't had opening ceremonies, how can games be underway?
It's like wiping before you poop. It don't make no sense.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's really what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Along with the Olympics getting underway, when the Olympics come together, that is when the IOC comes together to certify contracts and as such for future Olympics games.
You mean grease palms of other rich individuals?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Or in the case of countries like the United States that already have the infrastructure built up from previous Olympics, sign contracts.
Yeah.
Which is what is happening as it pertains to the Winter Olympics of 2034 in Salt Lake City, which, again, a place that has already hosted them. The difference or the issue in this contract is the IOC, which does not have anything to do directly with the United States, has inserted a clause into the contract that could rip the games away from Salt Lake City and the United States if they don't stop their FBI probe of WADA or the World Anti-Doping Agency.
Mm.
Why would the U.S. and the FBI be looking into that? Well, because the World Anti-Doping Agency has allowed 23 Chinese nationals who failed miserably, clearly, unquestionably, tests verified by WADA and were allowed to proceed as athletes.
Yeah, so what happened? You had a bunch of Chinese swimmers that I guess WADA has said, oh yeah, we'll take your word for it, accidentally took performance-enhancing drugs. How do 23 people accidentally
The story that they have
take PEDs?
Pushed forward is that it somehow got into their kitchen.
Drinking the Kool-Aid?
Well, it leads me to believe that they were feeding it to their athletes in the very same manner that the Russians were, which I don't know if anybody knows this. The Russians are not technically competing at the Olympics.
Okay. So this does sound like it should have an investigation done about it.
Weird.
Because of the fact that they're just being like, yeah, we accidentally gave them, popped them up full of steroids. Shouldn't the Chinese swimmers be better then?
Yes? Question mark?
Maybe that's the thing, is that they didn't win. They weren't winning a bunch of golds. So they're like, yeah, well, obviously what you did didn't work. Man, so
they do really well in gymnastics, though.
Okay. But these are swimmers.
Yeah.
These are swimmers. And
but they also had the issue with the underage gymnasts.
What?
Yeah, no, that's why they...
Oh, never... like the 12-year-old, 13-year-old gymnast that they were like, no, we're 16. They're 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, now I remember that. I was like,
It's the opposite thing that they do with basketball players, where they tell you it's an 18-year-old, and it's in fact a 23-year-old.
23-year-old, yeah. And
that happened, for those that are wondering.
It happens all the time.
Sent the three different Chinese nationals to Hoop Summit that were much older than they said.
Yeah, well, they also... Well, look, this is not foreign to sports, because Albert Pujols, we... think is in his mid-40s?
It's a guess.
He might be 52. I don't know.
Yeah. We think.
Yeah, that's right.
But he was still great for a decade.
He was great. All right, so if the U.S. doesn't call off the dogs on WADA, then no Olympics. So why don't they just sign the deal and then crack down on WADA when they get here in 2034?
Which is what I think is going to happen.
But this isn't the case for the L.A. Olympics in 2028?
Mm.
Okay. All right. You know what?
Those checks have already cleared.
But here's the thing with the IOC is that
it's scummier than even FIFA.
Well, they're running out of countries to host because nobody wants to do it anymore. Because if you go to Greece, if you go to China, if you go to anywhere that is Sydney, anywhere that they've hosted Olympic Games previously, Rio, for God's sakes. A lot of the places are just abandoned.
Yes.
A lot of the facilities are abandoned, and countries are like, we don't want to do this. You bankrupt a whole damn country in Greece.
I mean, in the U.S., these facilities are stood up, and they're used year-round.
And
whether it's in Denver, whether it's in Los Angeles, whether it's in Salt Lake City or Atlanta, those four cities have stood up, and actually Lake Placid, those facilities in both winter and summertime are stood up for our own training as a nation, but also for open to the public.
You want to take the Olympics back to Russia? You want to go ahead and do that, IOC? Because that's another country that'd be like, yeah, we'll spend $1 billion, where they had rampant doping. You don't even allow their athletes to
participate under the country's banner.
Yeah. Is that where you want to go? They're running out of places. Yeah. I think the United States should call their bluff on this.
And the USADA, the United States Anti-Doping Agency, is the part of this is they're wanting control of the Olympics. And,
yeah.
And the... I actually get the IOC pushing back against the USADA because you don't want the host nation being the arbiter of...
Well, yeah, we saw how that went in Russia.
Yeah. Yeah, when they said everything was totally fine.
Yeah.
Everything's on the up and up. Totally good here, guys.
They
no issues.
They literally had a trap door that they were putting samples through. That was a wild story.
Just kind of swept under the rug.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, why does Helga look like Holga?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man.
Damn it, Bernice. Dodgeball, beaver tranquilizers.
Low grade or high grade? I think it's low grade.
Low grade beaver tranquilizers. Damn it, Bernice.
Where do we get? I want to look, man. Like tracking now, like British Dragon was the steroid of choice 20 years ago. I wonder what the, where you get, and you can get that from even England.
Oh.
I wonder what the low grade tranquilizer choices out there
these days.
Yeah,
who knows. I'm sure that obviously maybe that's what the Chinese swim team had.
Are you excited for the Olympics?
Yeah,
I'm getting tight sports pants.
Yeah, I
love the Olympics.
I like the Olympics. It won't hit me until I start yelling at a badminton match or the, you know.
Yes, look
like the triathlon. I'm like, come on, and it will hit me then.
Track and field, basketball, the big events that we all know and love. Those
are great. Chase.
Look, yes.
I enjoy the steeplechase.
Look, decathlete. Like get weird.
Yeah.
Like when all of a sudden I start caring
shooting.
About a random event on like 2 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. That's when you know I'm locked in.
Well, you
Gina
know what
Davis
we're all
going
get
out
in?
For the archery team again.
Mm.
You guys know breakdancing is in the Olympics this year?
It has been for like a few, I think.
No way.
No?
Really?
I think so.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that breakdancing was part of the Olympics.
How about surfing? Because our mutual friend, AJ McCord, is in Tahiti covering the Olympics.
Wait, that's where they're doing their Surfing is in Tahiti. Is that like a French province or something?
I don't know, but that's where
they're not close.
No. And you know what they did for an Olympic village?
Hmm.
They took over a cruise ship and anchored it offshore.
Hell yeah.
So they have this massive cruise ship that all of the Olympic quote unquote athletes are staying on.
All right.
The partying being done on that ship has to be otherworldly.
I think they would say gnarly, bro. It'd be so gnarly out there on that cruise ship, man.
That's
hey, let's get this thing going and we'll all surf the wake, bro.
That's got to be a great ship.
I bet it's fun.
I bet zero issues on that ship as far as fun.
Yeah.
I bet you they don't have breakable beds.
No.
For those that are wondering,
no.
They have beds that
they're not. They're not breakable. No, they're not. They're made of cardboard.
Oh.
But they are saying it is
right.
So compressed, it will not break. Yeah. It's just as sturdy as any other bed that you want to get
But they
down
also
on.
Don't have air conditioning.
They don't?
No.
Oh, they're going to bring the portables.
Yeah. Well, the U.S. said they're bringing theirs.
That's what I'm talking
Because they
about.
Wanted to be green. It's like
Because America.
Paris is hot, sweaty, and they have horrible, horrible, horrible drainage.
Okay.
I don't want to be stinky and stinky.
Hey. Blazers preseason has been announced.
Four games. Two home, two on the road.
Yeah.
One of which is in Seattle, October 11th. I'll be
Against
up there
the
that Friday night again. That'll be a fun little deal. They've got one international team, Ratio Farm Ulm.
From the Bundesliga, German basketball.
From the BBL.
Whoa.
Basketball Bundesliga.
And then the Utah Jazz is going to be in Portland October 18th. It'll be good to have basketball back in October.
So there you go.
And the game against the Clippers in Seattle I saw was Pokemon night.
Yes, brought to you by Pokemon.
Wow.
Gotta catch them all.
Pokemon Go all around the arena. All right, up next, you got 4 hours of power there. Mouths to your ears. It's Primetime with Isaac and Souk. We'll be back for 5 more hours tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Bye.
Quote my ass on that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.